Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, January 20th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mplanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
The Constitutional Court has outlawed child marriages in Zimbabwe.
As a child rights organization, today we join millions of girls across Zimbabwe in celebrating this landmark ruling. There is now no justification for child marriages.
A controversial pastor prays for abducted political activist Itai Dzamara.
My prayer, Father God, right now is to say, Lord, wherever he could be and whoever is still holding him, Father, I pray that your grace may be sufficient, Lord, to keep him safe and sound.
15 people, some of them Zimbabweans, have died in a road traffic accident in South Africa.
And have you ever imagined what vice presidents in Zimbabwe do? Well, we will give you more details.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
At least 15 people, some of them Zimbabweans, have been killed in a road traffic accident in South Africa. According to police in South Africa, most of the people who died were in a vehicle that was involved in a head-on collision with a haulage truck. Police say they are still carrying out investigations and identifying the deceased.
Zimbabwe's highest court, the Constitutional Court, has outlawed child marriages, decreeing that any person who intends to get married should be at least 18 years of age. Our correspondent Thomas Chiripas has more details from Harare.
The ruling follows an application by human rights lawyers who wanted the legal age of marriage to be moved to 18 for both men and women. The case was filed by former finance minister and leader of the People's Democratic Party, Tendai Biti, and two minor children. Following the court's ruling, Biti, who is also a lawyer, described the judgment as an important milestone in the protection of women and children's rights.
The court has passed what I can only describe a revolutionary judgment for women and for girl children. The declaration that whether customary law, whether in terms of religious rights.
He added that he was not happy that the legislature was taking its time to align several laws to the new constitution so that women and children's rights were protected. Prominent human rights activist Justina Mukoko of the Zimbabwe Peace Project said that enforcement of today's ruling is going to be easy without the realignment of other pieces of legislation, arguing that the national constitution supersedes any legislation.
Well, in this regard, my understanding is that from today on, if anyone does anything to the contrary, they are going to find themselves on the other side of the law. And I think probably the other thing that we need to consider is that we are putting too much effort in terms of the realignment of laws.
Mukoko urged rights activists focusing on women and children's rights to launch massive campaigns to ensure that all the country's citizens are aware that child marriages are illegal and unconstitutional.
I think a spade just needs to be called a spade. And I know that my colleagues in the women and children's sector have worked tirelessly for this. And I think this should really clear the way for them to launch campaigns that will ensure that in the future we do not have children who are married off.
Angela Machonesa of Plan International said they are happy with the ruling.
As a child rights organization, today we join millions of girls across Zimbabwe in celebrating this landmark ruling. There is now no justification for child marriages. There is now no hiding behind culture, religion, or any other issue to perpetuate child marriage. The Constitutional Court, with its mandate to administer the supreme law of the land, has set the tone with regards to child marriages. Therefore, our future generations, especially girls, who are at risk of child marriage, have now been protected by the law.
Some activists say many children were being forced into early marriages because of poverty, while some parents were covering up for statutory rape by forcing their children to be married to their abusers. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
My prayer, Father God, right now is to say, Lord, wherever he could be and whoever is still holding him, Father, I pray that your grace may be sufficient, Lord, to keep him safe and sound. And at the same time, Lord...
That there is the controversial pastor Patrick Philip Mugadza of the Remnant Church, who staged a peaceful one-man protest recently against President Robert Mugabe. Today, he prayed for abducted political activist Itai Dzamara. Mugadza said the Dzamara family needs prayers as they are struggling every day to come to terms with the disappearance of the Occupy Africa Unity Square leader, who was calling for the stepping down of President Robert Mugabe for allegedly running Zimbabwe down.
My prayer, Father God, right now is to say, Lord, wherever he could be and whoever is still holding him, Father, I pray that your grace may be sufficient, Lord, to keep him safe and sound. And at the same time, Lord, that the abductors, Lord, will let him go, that he may join his loved ones, he may join his wife. I've seen where when I was in the house, Lord, a house unfinished. But I pray, Lord, because I knew that it was his vision and his desire to have a good place for his family. So I am praying, my Father and my God, that you may see all that which he had done, that you may remember him wherever he is. In Jesus' mighty name, let your Holy Spirit locate him and let your love move in a special of the ways. In Jesus' wonderful name.
What I'm saying right now is not politically correct, but it is biblically correct, because God can actually even punish people better than people themselves punishing each other. So the best way, according to me, is to leave everything in the hands of God. Right now, when those in power, in authority, those who have got things around them which they want to protect, the moment they hear this to say that some people are calling for their heads, automatically they start strengthening their holds, that they begin to make sure that they're a lot more safer and they're a lot more secured. So there is no way we are going to see a change in this nation when we continue taking this direction. We have been going that direction for a very, very long time. And this is one of the reasons, get me right, besides many other, why people in power are continually being there, because they're saying, if we leave our places, then we are what? We are exposed and people are going to do anything to us. But now it has to be understood, for the sake of moving on, let us compromise, because some of the things which were done, we might be able to undo them. But the only way we can do to move on is to forgive.
That was a controversial pastor Patrick Philip Mugadza of the Remnant Church. Mugadza said Dzamara's family will be blessed by God if they give those that allegedly abducted Itai Dzamara at a barbershop in Glenview 10 months ago. Dzamara's wife, Shefra, her children, and young sister were among those who attended the prayer at the barbershop. The High Court ordered Zimbabwean security agents to look for Dzamara and make some reports to relevant authorities about their progress in finding him, but they have not done anything to date.
Some Zimbabweans appear to be unaware of the role of vice presidents, who are not allowed to perform certain functions of the president when he's not on duty. Zimbabwe has two vice presidents that earn thousands of dollars in a nation struggling to generate revenue for capital and recurrent expenditure. One of the vice presidents has allegedly spent millions of dollars in hotel accommodation since his appointment a year ago. Our correspondent Ivan Chifera highlights some of the roles of vice presidents in Zimbabwe.
Section 100 of Zimbabwe's constitution clearly stipulates that whenever the president is absent from Zimbabwe or is unable to exercise his or her official functions through illness or any other cause, those functions must be assumed and exercised by vice presidents or a minister chosen by the president or cabinet. The constitution says the acting president is forbidden from exercising certain duties such as the deployment of defense forces or entering into any international convention or treaty. The acting president, as the country's supreme law, cannot revoke the appointment of ministers, deputy ministers, or assign functions to ministers or deputy ministers. Like what President Mugabe once said, Vice Presidents Pelekezela Mpoko and Emmerson Mnangagwa have to play to his tune. One of them is currently an acting president at a time Mr. Mugabe is on holiday in the Far East. Independent political commentator Fortune Gwazi says Zimbabwe would do well with only a single vice president instead of having two as their mere figureheads.
In accordance with the constitution, which is section 99 of the constitution, the role of the vice president is to assist the president in the execution of his duties, his or her duties. The roles are very necessary because, you know, the president is not an ever-present person.
Another political commentator and media center director Ernest Mudzengi concurs.
He or she who becomes acting president in this country does not have much in terms of real power. I think it's more of a ceremonial post than anything else. We know for certain that an acting president cannot chair cabinet. And from that perspective, you can tell that nothing more can really be done by the acting president, except to say that he will be the point person between the issues and the actual president.
Owen Jiwayo, a local political activist, says the vice presidents who act in his position when he's away do not assist him but are merely told what to do.
When you look in Zimbabwe, their interpretation is that you assist, you wait for Mugabe to tell you what to do. So that's assisting in Zimbabwean context.
First Lady Grace Mugabe was once quoted in the local media as saying the two, Mnangagwa and Mpoko, took notes on what to do from her and Mr. Mugabe. Some Zimbabweans who spoke to Studio 7 professed ignorance on the role of the vice president or acting president, while others like Clifford Hyachwayo said their role was unclear.
So the role of the two vice presidents of Zimbabwe, that is Emmerson Mnangagwa and Comrade Mpoko, is not clear, and I don't think their necessity is necessary in terms of bringing change, in terms of bringing development in Zimbabwe.
Harare lawyer Musindo Ungwe said the vice presidents are just figureheads as they do not have powers to carry out executive functions of a president.
So basically all the executive functions that are the epitome of the presidential power are taken away by that exception, which is contained in subsection 2 of section 100. So if you are to ask me, the long and short of my response would be the vice presidents are simply there as figureheads. They do not have any executive functions. They wait to be appointed functions and duties by the president as and when he deems fit.
But for ZANU-PF activist Terence Tadzungaira, power or no power, it does not matter, as what is important is that they gain experience when they act as president.
They're learning. What we basically need them to do is to understand the vision of our president Robert Mugabe as well, of the party. So we believe the two vice presidents are acting with the belief of ZANU-PF's ideologies.
According to the constitution, the functions of the vice president are to assist the president in the discharge of his or her functions and perform any such other functions as the administration of any ministry, department or act of parliament that the president may assign to them. For example, Mr. Mugabe has assigned Mnangagwa to be in charge of the justice ministry, while Mpoko deals with peace, reconciliation and national healing issues, among other duties in government. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Coming up
this evening on the Diaspora Slot, we're talking to social media sensation comedian Baba Vatensen.
But first, we take a look at regional and international news.
A gun and bomb attack on a university in northwestern Pakistan today killed at least 20 people and wounded dozens more.
And a United Nations Security Council delegation headed to Burundi today with a message for the government and opposition to start substantive dialogue and avert catastrophe before it's too late.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We're going out to you on the 909 medium wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies.
When Zimbabweans left their home country to settle in the diaspora, many of them lost some opportunities together with the comfort they had enjoyed for a long time. But for Pepukai Zwemare, popularly known as Baba Vatensen, it was a blessing in disguise as his departure from his roots in Masvingo province to South Africa saw the birth of a comedian. In 2005, the 38-year-old Zwemare was never employed in Zimbabwe, went to South Africa where he got his first job in life as a gardener within just 5 days of relocation. We went on to work at a hotel where he got everything from an air-conditioned office, hot shower, rotating office chair to a weekly wage, among other things. This prompted him to take a short video of his luxurious life, which he sent home to his relatives, and, like they say, the rest is history. The short video went viral, and Zwemare has never looked back. The father of two says he's now surviving from his one-man shows. This evening in our Diaspora Forum, reporter Jonga Kandemiri talks with the comedian about his stay in South Africa and life as a comedian.
I'm known as Pepukai Zwemare, that's my birth name. I grew up in Chibi, and my education I did it in Shurugwi, under Gweru. And all this comedian thing is something like inborn talent. I used to laugh with people, always smiling, to cover up things here and there, to the point of where I am right now.
How can you describe your stay in South Africa? Many people say life in the diaspora is tough.
Yeah, actually, life in diaspora is tough. If you're not getting well, if you're not even that cooperative, life can be tough. But to ease your mind, tell yourself that whatever you do can go easy under God's guidance. Nothing will be tough. Just follow your dreams, things will be fine. In diaspora, we are facing some tough situations and some problems, like being called names. Sometimes they call us our president's name or political names, this and that. But what you need to do is to focus on what you are doing. You will have no problem. Like now, problems that we are facing, people with no papers, this and that, we cannot even register or buy something because we don't have ID or whatsoever. Then there is a way whereby you are given an opportunity to take an aslam. Of course, in the comedy way, I do say aslam is nothing, so this and that. It's just a comedy. But truthfully speaking, if there is an opportunity to get a paper, then do it so that you can live safe. You can be able to support people at home and so forth. Yes, we are suffering, but the job that you are doing are not that professional. So as to sustain ourselves, then you don't have anything to complain about. As long as life is moving on.
You catapulted yourself to stardom after that skit, Kuripka Kugara. What prompted you to come up with that comedy?
Yeah, that comedy is like, it really hits my heart. Because when I came from Zim 2005, I came to South Africa clueless, not even thinking what kind of job I'm going to lead. And firstly, when I got to South Africa, I got my job just in 5 days. I got a job as a garden boy. In fact, I celebrated that job because I'd been paid daily, a week, not even thinking of food. Food was being provided by my boss. There is this kind of stay-in. I was sleeping there, and my boss told me to call my family, my wife and kids from Zim, so that we can be safe together. And I did that. So by so doing, thinking of the way back by then, you remember I'm talking of 2005, things were tough at home. And the time that I left my country, I had nothing, no plan, clueless, like I said before. But to the point of being given free food, What else could I have done? That's the reason why I had to say, no, guys, here I'm enjoying eating, drinking, doing this. Whenever I'm going to bath, right in Zima, I've been using river because I've been in rural areas, partial part of my life. Or else in Shurugu, when I was doing my education, there was this public shower. But there, I had my own bathtub, air conditions. Everything was so close to me without paying anything. So I had to put this on as a clip to show my friends and relatives that the way I'm living. But by so doing, that's the way the exposure came to a point that I'm international known for that clip.
Recently, you produced another clip where you are appreciating Winky D's music Disappear. What's the connection with Winky D here?
Actually, that one, Disappear, it came to me as a shock because I didn't expect that from Winky D. And only not to mention that from Zimbabwe. Right. Then my manager, Joe Tendai, came with the idea. I always see you sing this year to where we need it. I also like it. What can we do to it? Can we comment or whatsoever? No, let's do the commenting because this guy has done a lot. And with this, all people abroad can listen to it, including myself. I never enjoyed this kind of music. But now, because of Disappear, I'm in a position to dance. So he inspired me with some ideas to set lights to the clips. That's why he took me to LA, where I did at Union Buildings, exactly in South Africa. That's where I did it. Enjoying, I felt it in my heart. No, because when I listen to it, it connects to my clips when I say Disappear. It talks of drinking beer, drinking this and that, all about good things, passing by, then all problems. You forget problems.
That was a Zimbabwean comedian Pepukai Zwemere, popularly known as Baba Tenson, on the phone from Pretoria, South Africa, with Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri.
The Mutare City Council has adopted a damning local government special audit investigation report, which has recommended the firing of some allegedly corrupt city officials. The local authority says it is studying the report that accuses some officials of abusing council resources at the expense of ratepayers. Our correspondent Loida Moyo has more details from Mutare.
Mutare Mayor Tatinda Namarare said they wanted to make concrete decisions after going through the report that was compiled and presented to city fathers last week by the Minister of Local Government, headed by Xavier Kasukwere, who is also ZANU-PF commissar.
After the councillors have gone through and they are now well versed of what is happening, we will now go back to our committees, because every decision we have to go back to the committees. If there are financial matters, we go back to the finance committee. They will have special meetings in those meetings. We'll now be able now to come up with the recommendations.
Town Clerk Obed Mzawazi refused to comment, saying he will do so at the most appropriate time. He could not elaborate. Manicaland and Provincial Affairs Minister Mandi Chimene has already recommended the dismissal of all council officials accused of corruption. The council has until February 29th this year to take action against the accused city officials that include Mzawazi, Housing Director Standard Mapurisa, Health Officer Simon Mashavave, Engineer Nyashara Mewa, Human Resources Manager Aaron Chemvura, Engineer Donald Nyatoti, Town Planner Richard Simbi, and Finance Director Lloyd Musasam. They are among 11 city officials who allegedly granted each other allowances for paying rent, school fees, power charges, and other issues. The officials refused to comment. Some Mutare residents like David Mundirwira have welcomed the damning report. Mundirwira said the firing of corrupt officials is a positive development. Another Mutare resident, Favourite Mutimbe, echoed the same views, noting that she is happy that government is taking stern measures against corrupt council officials.
They must be fired, and I think we need legal action. We need them to sue them.
The government has over the years suspended or fired councillors and officials in some cities and towns, claiming that they are corrupt. Some of them have been accused of parceling prime land to friends without following proper council procedures. Eson Duwe of the United Mutare Residents and Ratepayers Trust, though welcoming the move to fire allegedly corrupt city officials, has questioned the seriousness of the Minister of Local Government in taking action against the graft.
What we want to know now is the deadline of execution of the findings. When is he going to act on his findings in Mutare City Council? I think that the top management has to be axed. I think it's a welcome move.
Edgar Chirwa, a ward chairperson representing Chikanga, said the dismissal of the city officials was long overdue.
We have been waiting for them to change the attitude, but they are not changing the attitude. And we want them to be fired because they are taking a lot of money. And the employees, they are not getting anything then.
But Marvin Mangisi, a local resident, argues that the top council managers need a second chance as they may have acted out of ignorance. Bishop Sebastian Bakari of the United Mutare Residents and Ratepayers Trust and the Voluntary Media Council of Zimbabwe said he is looking forward to a smooth settlement of the matter haunting the city for the benefit of local people.
The issue of corruption, for example, has been on our lips for a long time. We've been talking about poor service delivery.
Angry residents have been staging protests since the presentation of the report, calling for the resignation of all council officials named in the report for allegedly engaging in unconventional ways of making money. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mutare, this is Loida Moyo.
The president of the Zimbabwe National Chamber of Commerce, David Norupiri, says the business community wants the Zimbabwe Electricity Supply Authority, or ZESA, to increase tariffs by 10%, not the 49% the power utility is proposing, as the electricity situation gets desperate for Zimbabwe. The Zambezi River Authority, which manages the Kariba Dam, says water levels have dropped to 12% of capacity. ZESA spokesman Fulad Gwasira tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the situation at Kariba is a cause for concern.
On the 1st of January, we dropped down the generation from 475 megawatts to 275 megawatts in an effort to manage the dam level.
Is there a possibility that it might be shut down?
The people best placed to answer that question will be the Zambezi River Authority, because these are the people who monitor the dam.
But we also understand that business is complaining about the proposed increase, saying that one of the major problems is that there are inefficiencies at power stations and that needs to be improved.
Yes, we have been used to all stakeholders, business included.
That was ZESA spokesman Fulad Gwazira speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. Reached for comment, Norupiri says they understand ZESA's concerns.
We will be very uncompetitive if we accept a 49% increase. Therefore, we would rather prepare an increase which is not as high as 49%, something around 10%, and the big reason for this.
How is Harare faring as compared to other regional countries in terms of the cost of electricity?
Namibia is at 14.21 cents per kilowatt hour. Tanzania is at 19.05 cents per kilowatt hour. China is at 9.74 per kilowatt hour. Zambia at 10.35 per kilowatt hour. But they just increased by 78%, which means it will be slightly above 20 cents per kilowatt hour or slightly below. And South Africa is 25 cents per kilowatt hour. So their increase may be justified if we will compare with the region. But ourselves, the Zimbabwean business people, we are saying we cannot afford to take the whole 49%.
That was David Norupiri, president of the Zimbabwe National Chamber of Commerce, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts will be talking to listeners and experts about the outlawing of early child marriages in Zimbabwe.
That's it for today, but before we go, a quick recap of today's top stories.
The Constitutional Court has outlawed child marriages in Zimbabwe.
A controversial pastor prays for abducted political activist Itai Dzamara.
15 people, some of them Zimbabweans, have died in a road traffic accident in South Africa.
And that's our broadcast this evening.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Ntungamili Nkomo. This is Marvelous Mplanga Nyahuye in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening.
And I'm Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.